Welcome to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life, the trials, the tribulations, and the triumphs. Discussions about how faith matters to you and our community. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health, whose mission is to extend Christian ministry by caring for the whole person, body, mind, and spirit, and by working with others to improve health and quality of life in our communities. Now, here's your host, Ted Dotts.
Hello, I'm Ted Dotts, and welcome to Faith Matters. Today, our guest is Professor Norman Burt, professor at Texas Tech University of Theater and Dance, a man I'm most eager to have a conversation with. He has a very rich history and much life experience. So, Norman, welcome to you.
Well, thank you.
I think one thing people might not know about you that I know is that once upon a time in your youth, you were a missionary to Africa. Do you mind telling a little bit about that and perhaps how then you ended up as a professor of theater and dance at Texas Tech University?
I was planning to be a minister, so I went through college with that in mind, went through 3 years of seminary, ended up pastoring a church for 1 year in a fill-in position. By the time that was done, I still thought, I'm too young to take on a pastorate. I should get some more experience, and the church I was a part of had extensive mission work. So I did 2 years of voluntary service in Zambia. Basically was a school teacher there in a secondary school.
Wow, from school teacher in Zambia to professor at Texas Tech University, that's quite a jump. How did that happen?
Well, when those 2 years of service were done, I decided I had either fulfilled my calling or misread it. Then I had to figure out what I was going to do when I grew up. I'd always been interested in theater, although I'd never had any coursework in it. There was a friend of the family who was teaching theater at Kansas State, and I wrote to him, and within a couple months, I was in a master's degree program at Kansas State in theater, and then went on to Indiana University for a PhD, and have been teaching theater ever since.
And when did you come to Texas Tech?
In 1995, I came in as department chair of theater and dance and did that for 5 years, and since then have been very happily not an administrator, but a classroom teacher.
Norman, you've brought this together, a missionary in Zambia to professor of theater and dance. In my mind, you brought it together. Just two, 3 years ago, I noticed you went around to agencies here in Lubbock that served the poor. You investigated them, spent the night with the homeless downtown, did whatever necessary to acquaint you, and then you did plays about the poor. Tell me, what led you to that? Why would you choose such an activity?
My interests that got me into theater were closely related to my religious interests. My religious faith has always been a really important part of who I think I am anyway. And for a number of years, I wrote plays in sort of a general, not specifically religious in any way and so on. And then after it became rather clear to me I probably was never going to have anything on Broadway, I decided I can write what I want. And that made or sort of led me to think, okay, I want to do things that are focused on making a difference in the world. Poverty issues, gender issues, diversity issues, and so on. So I had a sabbatical. And by the way, at your and my age, this was 7 years ago, actually.
Oh, time goes by quickly. Wow.
So anyway, I had a sabbatical, and I thought, I want to focus on poverty on the South Plains. Seems to me an important issue. There seems to be a lot of it. I didn't realize how much poverty there was in our area. So I researched it for a semester and then wrote a play about it. And I continue to, every once in a while, write plays populated by poor and homeless people.
Yes, you do, and very good ones, the ones I've gotten to attend. So, Norman, now you have Zambia, you have California, Kansas, Indiana. Do you have a way of talking about the difference in Lubbock and West Texas from other areas in which you've lived?
Well, I moved here from Montana. I had taught in Montana at Eastern Montana College for 14 years. Interestingly enough, of course, there are huge geographical differences, but in many ways, the towns are somewhat similar in the basic social conservatism of the area and so on. Although I don't think I have ever lived in an area quite as conservative as Lubbock in all sorts of ways, or quite as visibly religious as Lubbock seems to be.
Could you say a little more about visibly religious? What was the meaning of that term for you?
There is a real, I'm going to say veneer, that we may have to talk about that in a little bit, but there seems to be a religious veneer here. There's a lot of visible religion. It's in the newspaper all the time. It's in people's verbiage, the way they talk. Seems like a church on every corner. In Montana, we had about an equal number of bars and churches. I think here maybe the churches outnumber the bars.
Oh.
So there just seems to me to be a lot of visible religion here.
With a veneer. That's an interesting word. I want to pursue that with you a bit. Now we'll go into a break, and when we return, it'll be with Professor Norman Burt of Texas Tech University. You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with your host, Ted Dotts. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health, celebrating Covenant Heart and Vascular Institute. Since 1965, Covenant has brought together cardiac physicians, nurses, and professionals whose sacred mission is compassionate care for every patient. More information is available on cardiac care at 866-4-COVENANT. Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Now again, your host, Ted Dotts.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. I'm Ted Dotts, and our guest today is Professor Norman Burt, Professor of Theater and Dance at Texas Tech University. I have asked him about the difference he's experienced, say, between Montana and California and Zambia, in Kansas and Lubbock, and he's used the word that we have a veneer about our religion. And I wonder, Norman, if you would say a bit more about that for us.
I think we don't go too deep beyond that surface religiosity until we hit some core values that seem to me in conflict with that veneer. Just for instance, we were talking about poverty. We have in this town about 20% of the population that lives at or below the poverty level. For a city that is so religiously committed, I think there's something obscene about that. I don't know how we can tolerate that. And what worries me is that we live our lives in such a way that we maintain that level of poverty, and then we salve our consciences by giving some cans of food to the weekend share programs and so on. So instead of seeing that the needs of the poor are served, we see that our middle class needs are served and we don't worry too much about the poor. I guess that's what I'm talking about when I say I think we have a religious veneer, but we go a little bit deeper and we may not be quite as committed as we sound.
I see. So I thought when you used the word veneer, I think what you said, we can tend to give cans of food or buy food vouchers from the food bank, but we don't do any systemic work, especially many of the poor. I do that every Tuesday, hand out mm-hmm. the vouchers. They're really physically and mentally incapable of holding any kind of job. Many of them are. Mm-hmm. So it's a sort of veneer that we practice then.
Yeah, just for instance, transportation in Lubbock is a very difficult thing. It's not for me. In our household, we have two people and we have two cars. We have no problem with transportation. But for people who don't have cars, getting around in this town is a real problem. The best way is the buses. But we have, again and again, raised the basic bus fare, and so that people who need those services, and it's not me, I have never ridden the bus in Lubbock, but the poor need that. But in order to keep our taxes down, our middle-class taxes down, we raise the bus fees for the poor.
Thank you for the specificity. That's a systemic change that we could make if we were sensitive and went beyond what we're calling the veneer. Well, that raises another point for me with you, Norman. Another thing about you makes you so interesting. For some years, you were a biker here in Lubbock. I remember you used to dress in leather, and you had this motorcycle, and you got into a different culture than the university and say, the typical church. What was life as a biker like, especially maybe compared to the life of the poor that you investigated?
My biker years were relatively short, probably 4 years, something like that. It was a really interesting time. Not too far into that time, I became a member of BACA, Bikers Against Child Abuse, and found a very interesting community there, people who were very different from me educationally, culturally, in their work responsibilities, and in many, many ways, and yet who had a very deep, deep, deep commitment to making their world better, and especially on that issue of child abuse. You know, in almost any subculture in this country that you go into, I think, you're going to find people who are deeply committed to making the world a better place.
Wow, that is quite a statement of faith, Norman. Any subculture, there'll be people deeply committed to making this world a better place. Did you also write a play about bikers as well as the plays that you did about the poor?
Surprisingly, no. I have not too long ago, I wrote a play in which there is a biker, but many times I thought I ought to write a play about the biker community. And you always run into this problem of the bikes, right? And motorcycles on stage are a little bit of a difficult problem. And I thought, well, you could write a play about bikers without bikes, but that's not so interesting. You know, you really need the hardware there. So, no, I haven't done that. Like I said, I recently wrote a play in which there is a biker. Actually, his name is Jesus, and he is actually the Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And he is Mexican, but he is definitely Jesus, and he rides in and intervenes.
Norman, I know a little bit. Occasionally I've heard you've had awards for all the way from California to New York for your plays. So where is your play or your plays produced?
You'd have to go quite a ways, I think. The last one that I had fully produced was in Binghamton, New York. This summer, I'll have a play read, not fully produced, but done in a staged reading in July, late July, in Scottsdale, Arizona, at the Association for Theater and Higher Education. I just submitted a play to a competition in Dallas, and hear that they have accepted it, and it is in for the next reading. So who knows? Maybe the there'll be an opportunity just right over there in the Metroplex before too long.
You know, mixed in with that, Norman, I know that fairly recently, depending on how we measure our time, you received an award from a scholar's press for an article you did on the Gospel of Mark.
That's right.
We'll be right back after a quick break. You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with Professor Norman Burt.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with your host, Ted Dotts. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health, celebrating Covenant Heart and Vascular Institute. Since 1965, Covenant has brought together cardiac physicians, nurses, and professionals whose sacred mission is compassionate care for every patient. More information is available on cardiac care at 866-4-COVENANT. Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Now again, your host, Ted Dotts.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. I'm Ted Dotts, and our guest today is Professor Norman Burt, a man with a very rich history. Norman, I've got two questions I want to ask. I hope we get to. Number one, I'd like to ask about playwriting. You teach students to write plays. What leads a student to do that, and what do you teach them?
I think most students in a program like ours at Texas Tech get into theater first in high school as actors, and then they find that it's meaningful to them and so on, and so they major in it in college. What may lead them to wanting to write plays? After all, plays are what we deal with all the time in theater, and as someone has said, new plays are the lifeblood of the theater, and I think sometimes students get that idea. They have something they want to say. I've heard people say that everyone in the country has a movie script in mind that he or she would like to write, and I think maybe when someone is studying stage theater in a program like ours, they have in mind a play they'd like to write, or they've tried to write once or twice, and then they think, well, maybe I should take a course in it, and so on. So other than that, I can't really tell you why, because after all, you know, actors make a living as actors, and we have graduates who make a living, directors, designers. Playwrights, not so much. Most playwrights who write for the stage have to have a day job as well. It may be teaching, it may be writing movie scripts, but no longer are there very many people like Tennessee Williams, for instance, who made his entire living, as far as I know, writing plays. That's just not so much done anymore.
Well, so if I heard correctly, most of us have a movie script in us, and they come to the university and to you, and you help them bring that to fruition. Is there some one important thing that you would tell an aspiring student who wanted to be a playwright?
Yes. Write. You have to write. You have to write and you have to read. You have to read all sorts of stuff. Plays, yes. Novels, yes. Read, and write. And write not just plays, but write journals, write stories, write poems, write papers. You know, Aristotle said that the material of plays is words. And I think to be a playwright, you need to learn to write. And you only learn writing by writing.
In other words, by very hard work.
Oh, yeah, it's hard work.
Putting words together in the appropriate way.
Yeah.
Norman, your life is so rich. There's one other area I'd like to ask about, if that's all right. Some years ago, you came up with prostate cancer, and your response to that was kind of unique.
Yeah, it was a great shock to me to have my urologist tell me I had cancer. No one in my family had ever had cancer, and just the very idea was a huge shock. My urologist wanted me to undergo the prostatectomy surgery, and I read a little bit about it and thought, that is not something I want to do. Through a variety of circumstances that we don't need to go into, I found out about Loma Linda University in Southern California and their proton radiation treatment, which is different from the normal radiation treatment that is generally used for various cancers. And I studied about it, read a lot about it, and applied to be in their program, and they accepted me. So I went out to California for 2 months. It's a low-dose daily treatment, so one goes in every day for treatment 5 days a week. The treatment takes, from the time you walk into the hospital till you walk out, it's maybe 30 minutes, and that includes dressing and all of that. So the treatment itself probably takes maybe a minute. And the rest of the time is you can do whatever you want to do. And there's lots to do in Southern California. So anyway, I went through that program, 2 months of it, and it was completely successful in eradicating the cancer. And I've had zero side effects. It's a great treatment program. And Loma Linda is a Seventh-day Adventist hospital and facility. I'm not an Adventist myself, but they are a real healing community. It was an amazing experience to be there in Loma Linda, be a part of their program for a couple months.
Norman, would you say a little bit more about community? You said it took you 30 minutes, maybe the treatment 1 minute. Was there a community that you engaged? Was that part of the healing process?
Yes, absolutely. You could simply walk in, get your treatment, leave, and have nothing else to do with the hospital or the community, but you would not be living up to your privileges. There are support groups. There are all sorts of activities. Like I say, it's a healing community, and they say, we're going to take care of your cancer. That's not a problem. It's not just a matter of curing your disease. We want to help heal your whole life. And it works. It works. And you don't have to become a Seventh-day Adventist or stop eating meat or something like that. I mean, it's a very supportive community.
Norman, you used the phrase, heal your whole life. You've lived some years now. Could you tell me what healing your whole life, if you had to say to someone, here's an aspect of healing a whole life, what would you say that would be?
Well, it has to do not only with your physicality, but with how you relate to people and how you relate to yourself, how you think about yourself, and how you relate to God. It's the relational thing. And, you know, Jesus cured diseases, but he healed people. And the healing, I think, was more important probably than the curing.
What a great statement to end with. Thank you very much for being with us today. You've been listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with Professor Norman Burt, Professor of Theater and Dance at Texas Tech University.
You've been listening to Faith Matters with your host, Ted Dotz. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health, working to improve health and quality of life in our communities. Join us next Sunday for another edition of Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1, a service of Texas Tech Public Radio.